Open Globe Talk is a podcast series for aspiring ophthalmologists and trainees interested in obtaining education in global ophthalmology. Be part of this unique setup as we interview ophthalmologists around the globe virtually and get to create equity in service, innovation, and medical education.
Welcome back to the second episode of season three. It is an exciting opportunity where I'm getting the chance to interview three incredible medical students. They're all coming in from different parts of the country, and they're also part of the OGT team. And this is the first time we're going to be getting an intake of medical student perspectives. And so the first person that will be on this panel is Tommy Buey, who is a medical student at the Medical College of Georgia. He's a third year medical student who's also going to be pursuing his master's in public health. And then there is student Dr. Zoha Mian, who is a third year medical student as well at the University of Louisville, but she will be starting her MPH year at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And then last but not least is Nikita Yedlapalli, who is also a third year medical student at the Florida International University. And we're so excited to have you guys here. And I wanted to take this opportunity to have you all share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, totally. It's an absolute honor to be on the show, Razul. Like you said, I'm a third year medical student at the Medical College of Georgia. I'm at the Southeast Regional Campus, so I'm based in Savannah, Georgia. It's an awesome place to go to medical school. My interest in ophthalmology started off during my gap year before medical school. It was during COVID. I just moved home when the pandemic started, and there was a pediatric ophthalmologist who opened a practice next to my parents' house. So through that, I got exposed to ophthalmology. And, you know, when I went to medical school, I just couldn't stop thinking about just trying to get back in the clinic again. So being in an ophthalmology clinic is like where I feel at home. So that's, you know, where I finally understood that it's for me. I'm leading up the research section. I've been involved in a lot of ROP research during my time in medical school. So happy to contribute to that. And something fun I'm looking forward to this year is the Global Ophthalmology Summit in the fall. It's in Atlanta, my hometown. So, you know, for once, having a conference in my hometown is going to be fun. Can't wait to show people around.
Awesome. All right, going over to Zoha.
Thank you again for having me. I'm really excited to be here, excited to discuss some interesting topics. But I'm Zoha Mian. I'm a finishing third year medical student at the University of Louisville. It's literally my last week of rotation, so I'm really, really excited about that. And as you mentioned, I'm going to be pursuing my MPH at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine this upcoming September. And the master's itself is a focus in public eye care, which I can talk a little bit about later. But really, my interest in ophthalmology really stemmed from a shadowing experience that I had with an ophthalmologist who provided a lot of like free pro bono surgeries to a lot of individuals in the community and also does a lot of global health work abroad. Before I started medical school, I knew that I always wanted to do kind of like a social justice global health kind of thing. After I graduated, I wasn't really sure what avenue that was, but I think, you know, shadowing that ophthalmologist really kind of opened my eyes to that possibility. And that's kind of what got me here. At the moment, I'm interested in global ophthalmology, maybe cornea, maybe peds. I don't really know. I guess we'll see. And then I'm essentially the advocacy and policy lead for Open Globe Talk. I've been involved in a number of different advocacy and policy groups throughout my time in college in Cincinnati and in medical school. I co-founded a couple of organizations called Grow 502 and Physicians for Human Rights, which kind of advocate for marginalized communities in our city. I've done some policy work with the American Medical Association and really thought it would be great to kind of explore that in the ophthalmology realm. And then I guess something I'm looking forward to is I've already kind of started planning some of my European excursions while I'll be abroad. I've been procrastinating studying for my shelf and have instead been looking up like places to go in Italy, because that's where I'm planning on going before I start my master's. I already have like random reservations that I want to book in my calendar like 2 months out in advance, like literally anything to get me to not study. But yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to this year.
Seems like a very exciting itinerary. And then let's go to Nikita.
Thank you, Rizal, also for having me on here. And just like Tommy, I'll also be applying next year. So my name is Nikita, and I go to FIU, like Rizal mentioned earlier. My interest in ophthalmology started in undergrad as well. I volunteered in the ophthalmology department at UF, and they had a free clinic where they would see pediatric patients who failed their in-school vision exams. And so this was a way for families who were low income or underserved to get the care that they needed. And so that's where it all started for me. And once I saw that the impact that we could have with ophthalmology locally, I was inspired to kind of like look at it from a global perspective. And so within Open Globe Talk, I'm doing the service lead. And right now I'm working to bring a mobile handheld device, like a smartphone screening device, to the mobile health clinics here at FIU. And hopefully that's like a successful thing that works out, because we see a lot of patients here, and vision care is not something that is fully covered. So hopefully we're able to expand that. And I'm really excited to highlight all of the efforts that are going on around the United States at all these different medical school programs, because I really think we're all making a huge impact with our service projects that we have going on. And something fun that I'm looking forward to this year is actually just starting rotations, honestly. Like, I had my first day of pediatrics today, and it was just so crazy to be in the hospital, like, not in a lecture hall. And I'm just, like, super excited about that.
That's awesome. I remember my third year, and I was very glad to be out of lecture halls. So, you know, we've learned a little bit about each person here, and I feel like global ophthalmology is not something that early trainees necessarily understand. And by early trainees, I mean medical students, right? And I was wondering, what does global ophthalmology mean to you guys? And how do you imagine practicing it in your future? And I wanted to first ask Nikita, since she left off.
Sure, yeah. So to me, personally, global ophthalmology just means a way of addressing the global inequities in eye care that we have globally and locally as well. And the way I see myself doing this, and I think there's just so many different ways to get involved. For one is improving access. So getting those early vision screenings in communities where they might not have those, going to patients in their community settings, such as churches, and hosting events where they're able to consistently get those checkups. And as well as like volunteering on a global basis. Like, I hope to be able to do that in my future career once I finally have the surgical skills to do so. And as well as like research, I think there's different reasons why people are having poor vision in different areas of the world. And I think it's super important to understand what environmental factors play a role. So working on like research projects and collaborating with other organizations across the world is something that I hope to do in the future too.
Yeah. Tommy, what, in your opinion, how do you imagine practicing global ophthalmology? And
yeah, global ophthalmology, you know, it's a lot of different things, and it's hard to describe it in words. And I think all of us could say a different thing about it. But to me, global ophthalmology is, you know, taking a look at the patients and really taking the time to think about who they are as people and what kind of social space they occupy outside of the clinic. And when I was in high school, I loved this book about this guy named Paul Farmer, who, you know, like inspired me to go into medicine. And he died my first year of medical school. And that just like reminded me to take a look at his life and all the amazing things he did with, you know, traveling around the world. And his approach to medicine was sort of just like looking at the social problems too and addressing them, you know, as a problem of disease. And, you know, that's something that I really resonate with in medicine in general, and something I hope to bring into global ophthalmology. You know, it's hard to tell at this point as a brand new third year medical student, you know, even what city I'm going to live in. But I know for sure that, you know, through global ophthalmology, I want to use that to be like an active member in my community and then, you know, advocate for my patients' vision, you know, in the community and just like institute good change, just for the better good of vision and just health in the community.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if this is correct, but I believe you're a first generation medical student. And I was kind of curious, you know, as like a first gen medical student, how did you even come to the conclusion that was it natural that you wanted to go into global health and working with underserved populations, because that was the exposure to medicine that you initially got?
Yeah, it's, I'm really glad you brought that up. My family is like a huge part of, you know, the why I do everything. And some of my earliest memories are my parents arguing with the eye doctor about like why they should wear glasses. And in Asian culture, it's like, if you wear glasses, your eyesight's going to get worse. And there's a little taboo. And, you know, I have memories of, you know, family members going blind because they, you know, either couldn't go to the eye doctor because they didn't know how to speak the language, or they didn't have access to good health insurance. So, you know, that's my background. And, you know, a lot of those memories, you know, fuel me to just really dig deep down and get motivated to study hard and volunteer. And, you know, that definitely influences how I want to practice in the future.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Zoa, what does global ophthalmology mean to you? You're very interested in policy and advocacy. I feel like you have a lot of experience in this realm. We see, you know, on social media, you're very active with trying to make policies or making amendments that benefit underserved populations. So I'm curious, like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So I think for me, I think my experience as a first generation immigrant to this country really influenced my perception of global ophthalmology and kind of what it means to me. You know, when I was young, my parents would tell me stories about their childhood and the things that they saw in their country and in their neighborhood. And then I had the opportunity to go back home with them to Pakistan, and I was kind of able to see the health disparity. And I think really, as I mentioned before, you know, social justice was kind of the underlying foundation of why I wanted to go to medical school. You know, I believe health is a human right. I think health is pretty much the foundation of everything that, you know, we experience in our lives. There's so many barriers that come up in our life if we're not in good health. And I realize that that limits so much opportunity for individuals to pursue an education or have a job. If they can't see, they can't learn how to read, they can't learn how to write, they can't get an education, they can't work a job, they can't be autonomous individuals. And then ultimately, you know, they can't live a life that they want to their fullest. And I think those, that kind of like concept or that philosophy is kind of what took me into the realm of global ophthalmology. And really, it, when we say global, like I envision it as one big community, like we're all one community. I think the pandemic showed that whatever happens abroad eventually ends up affecting us at home, whether we feel the repercussions of it immediately or not. I think ultimately, if we don't, you know, work to increase health access for everyone, we don't work to increase health literacy and opportunity for everyone, then ultimately, you know, we're never going to have like a fully healthy society or like a functioning society. So I think we're all interconnected in that way. And I guess for me, like my inspiration starts here in all the communities that I can help here. And then hopefully, you know, when I'm a doctor and, you know, I have the skills that I, you know, eventually will obtain during residency and training, then hopefully, you know, I envision going abroad and, you know, providing services and building infrastructure that's sustainable so that, you know, even after I leave, they can have functioning eye care for like generations and generations to come.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. And it's interesting how if you go around the room, all of us are immigrants, and it kind of is telling for why we are interested in global ophthalmology in our own unique reasons and ways. And it sometimes makes me wonder if there is a mature understanding for the need and how things could be facilitated because you come from a certain immigrant background, giving you so much understanding and light into the situations that patients kind of experience, especially with the frustration that they have with the medical access of things. And then Tommy brings out a great point about how, you know, different cultural backgrounds actually hamper care. which is why it's so important as a physician to be aware of those insights. And from a medical school perspective, I'm now kind of wondering, you know, do you think that the mentorship that you get as a medical student in global health seems sufficient? And if not, what are ways that I think we could improve on that? And I kind of want to mix this up and kind of go and ask Tommy about this.
All righty. So I go to a state medical school, and the mission of the school is to, you know, prepare students to like serve the state. You know, Georgia's our campus. We're taught about a lot about the inequities in Georgia. So, you know, our exposure to the international community is, you know, a little bit more limited than some schools. But I think it sets up a really good foundation to think about that. I think thinking about your local community and getting in the nitty gritty details of, you know, the people that you go to the grocery store with and drive on the same roads with, I think that's a great, you know, starting point. And that's how I got interested in medical school and started, you know, exercising, you know, my interest in global health is through free clinics in the local community in Augusta. You know, like international exposure, not that much, but I think, you know, the experience we get, you know, caring about social medicine and the inequities in the local community, I think those set up a good foundation.
Yeah. And that sounds really great. And you're from the South. Zoha is in the Midwest. So Zoha, what is mentorship looking like from there?
Honestly, I would say that I think global health mentorship in general, I found in my experience being in the Midwest is very sparse. Unfortunately, I just don't think there is a lot of that foundation here. I have realized over my time in medical school that I do think a lot of it is influenced by institution and the institution you go to and if they have the opportunities there. You know, I know a lot of like big schools on the East Coast or West Coast, they do have major global health centers. And through that, you know, their medical students can find opportunity to be more involved. I will say in my experience, I think my experience was more like I wanted to do it. So I went out and I found it. I found opportunity. I found mentorship. So I think in that way, it's possible, you know, if you do your research, if you reach out to people, cold email people, like read articles, things like that. I mean, in my experience, I think in Louisville, we have like a big refugee population. So we get exposed to that through our clinical rotations. But I know my school, like we have a global health center, but it's not necessarily the most active. And so for me, most of my exposure has just been kind of stuff that I have found on my own. And, you know, I understand that not every school can, you know, allocate resources for that, or that not might not be their priority, and people might be like, oh, like we're in the Midwest, like how could we like contribute to global health? But I think, you know, ultimately to some degree, I think it should be touched upon in medical school, especially because, you know, we are such a globalized society. I think medical students could really benefit from it. But that's just really been my experience for mentorship. And I know a lot of medical students I've talked to, not only in Louisville, but around the country, kind of share the same sentiment.
And Nikita, you're down in Florida, and, you know, there's a very diverse population living there. So how are you getting your mentorship in global health?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually come from a school without a home ophthalmology program. So for me, mentorship has always been something that has to be very intentional. Like, I have to go out there and look for it as well. Luckily, we have Bascom Palmer right next door, so that's a huge help in Miami. And I guess, like, because you have to be so intentional when you come from a school without a home program, I found that the best way is to kind of read about the issues that are happening in your community, understand what problems that the people of your community are facing, and then coming up with a solution of how are you going to fix this? How are you going to address the problem that's happening right in your own backyard? So, for example, there was a lecture that was happening by an ophthalmologist who told us that the diabetic retinopathy screening rate was less than 50% in diabetics. And that got me thinking because my own mom is a diabetic and she does not get her yearly vision screening exam either. And so it occurred to me like, wow, like she really just didn't know that she needed to get this exam every year and that it was also covered by insurance, right? So a lot of the times these like social determinants of health that like play a role into this like education, health literacy, like understanding that, hey, I need to get a vision exam every year and I don't need to pay for it. So just improving access to that, I think was something that, you know, I was passionate about. And then I reached out to someone in the community. And then I found that whenever you do reach out to someone, they're always super receptive. But I think it's also very difficult as a medical student to become, you know, super involved in the global ophthalmology sphere, just because there might not be a lot of opportunities to travel like abroad or and volunteer in those settings. But I think we can do our best in trying to find local ways to improve community health and then use what we learn from our stage of training right now as medical students and bring those skills to the future. Like when we do go to wherever it is we go, and I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned. So just kind of keeping that in mind.
And I agree. I think it's a lot about going out and really finding your own mentorship, which is kind of like a demonstration of the disparities that exist currently in early mentorship. And the question by a lot of the ophthalmologists who are global health leaders is probably because it probably is, you know, why is this even important? They're too early in their training. We don't even know if they're going to go into ophthalmology. But the trend that they're probably seeing is that when people go into residency, it gets really difficult for somebody to part-time and, you know, get involved in these types of things because of the schedule. And one would have to question, you know, would it be better to get those interested medical students earlier and develop that interest so that they maintain that interest and those connections when they're moving forward. And I think the Global Ophthalmology Summit is doing a fantastic work in this aspect. As you know, Zoha and I attended it last year, and you guys will be attending it this year. But I think because it was the first year that they're doing it, I think it would be really interesting to see how that grows. So Nikita, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've seen a lot of different disciplines within global ophthalmology, and let's kind of talk about the different, you know, specialties that you can go into for global health. I think that there are just so many ways to help in this field, not necessarily in the aspect of training.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many different ways I feel like to get involved in global ophthalmology. Like Zoha mentioned earlier, like global advocacy is a huge thing. And Tommy, like research is also a huge way that you can become involved locally and globally. And developing those eye care programs, like getting involved in partnering with local and global organizations and learning from them. For example, like Arvind Eye Care in India has a phenomenal way that they see their patients, and they're able to get so many patients like treated every single day. And I think there's a lot that can be learned from that. And we've seen those partnerships already being made, and the conversation, the dialogue just flows, and you're able to learn from others. So working on those types of programs, as well as surgical education, I think a lot of older attendings will go and teach residents and other ophthalmologists in other resource limited areas on how they can perform surgery and what techniques can be improved and used to treat the patients in that certain population. So if you're young, for example, just like with that all in mind, just looking at the different stages of training, if you're a young trainee, whether you're getting like an MPH or an MBA, I think those are skills that can be transferred into the realm of global ophthalmology. You can definitely use that public health background and contribute. And then residents, of course, like have developed that surgical training that they can then use to go and perform surgeries in different global areas and help with that high surgical volume and demand that we have today. And then, as I said before, those senior attendings who are always willing to like teach back everything that they've learned throughout their career, help out the next generation of ophthalmologists, not only in their local community, but going out into other areas and teaching other residents and training ophthalmologists and how to even like recognize if something is wrong with someone's vision and then how to fix it. So there's just so many different ways. And I think that's what's so awesome about it.
Yeah. And we don't normally kind of shift our perspective in that lens, but it definitely echoes that doesn't matter what stage you're at, you can be involved. And we've seen that a lot in college as well, you know, having gone to mission trips and getting your feet wet. And I know now we're moving away from mission trips and going into capacity building, which is forming long-term relationships with these individuals. So Zoha and Tommy, this is a question for you guys because you both are pursuing your master's in public health. What are you hoping to gain during this year? And when do you think is a good time to pursue it? Because you know, sometimes people come in with the public health background before medical school, and maybe people find that more convenient rather than taking a year off. But then, you know, as you guys both probably know, it's actually a great thing to take a year off, you know, in your medical school career, having known what are the disparities in the first place.
You know, really, I, for a while, you know, knew that I liked social justice work and it was something that I was passionate about. And I think, you know, doing it at this point in my career kind of feels like almost like the best time, like it was kind of what was always meant to be happening at this point of my career. Only because I feel like, you know, if I had pursued it after graduation, I don't think for me personally, I really knew what exactly I wanted to do with my MPH when I got it. I didn't really have a direct focus. And I feel like going through medical school and exploring what I'm passionate about and kind of learning, you know, what I want to focus on kind of gave me the perfect opportunity to go and do what I'm passionate about. So really, when I was looking at pursuing gap years, I was really drawn to this specific program because it was so focused in global health and public health. And that's something that I am passionate about. I want to dedicate my career to. And ultimately, you know, I really just want to spend a year learning of how to be a good researcher, because that's something that I want to do. You know, we've talked so much about the importance of research alongside like access and policy and global health. And that's something that I want to do as well. So just, you know, really learning the skills to be an efficient researcher, looking at the kind of global epidemiology of ocular disease, look at what's being done and what can be improved on, I think is going to be really vital in my training going forward, especially because I do want to be involved, you know, on a global health perspective. Really, I just want to be able to just spend a year really focusing on ophthalmology research on like a global and public health perspective. And really, you know, it's unique that the UK is centered geographically in such a unique area. They have connections with so many countries around them. There are so many migrants and refugees that are coming into the country. And so I think you get that really unique perspective of what global eye health looks like around the world. And the university itself has established really great relationships with different countries around the world. So I know that they work in a wide variety of topics from like eye care access to literacy to policy, glaucoma, cornea, like literally anything that you can think of. So I think it would be a really great opportunity for me to kind of find my niche and then work to kind of become the best that I can in that topic. And then, you know, going forward, I have kind of the skills needed when I start residency to kind of hit the ground running. And ultimately, you know, I would like to develop a long-term relationship with, you know, whatever organization or hospital or country that I end up working with. We talk so much about like the importance of longevity and sustainability. And part of the MPH there, you kind of do a 6-week research project in another country relating to like a different topic. And I really want to kind of use that as like the groundwork to establish a relationship with them. On top of pursuing other passions that I have. And outside of all of that, really, I just wanted to take a break from medical school and spend a year focusing on what I'm passionate about, what really drives me into medicine. You know, medical school is hard, it's long, and I really just wanted to, you know, kind of take a break and just work and something that I enjoy doing. So that's kind of a mix of why I chose to do what I did and what I'm hoping to gain.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a long process. So why not kind of include something unique to the application, to who you are, and restructure kind of, you know, because after the end of third year, you're kind of wondering what is the best field you want to apply to. There's not really a lot of time you're given. So this is an excellent opportunity to specifically focus on in one specialty you know that you really, really like. And Tommy, you're also pursuing a public health degree, but this is back at home, just like me in the States. And I feel like Georgia has a wonderful program centered around public health as well.
Yeah. So quick pitch about my school. So I'm not actually taking a year off to do my public health degree. It's part of my medical like education. So, you know, at MCG, we do 18 months of pre-clerkship and then 18 months of clerkship. So then we have like 1 year left over, you know, from all the summers that we missed. And then you can kind of just design your fourth year to do, you know, ways more electives. And a lot of people opt to do dual degrees. And, you know, our partner in the state schools has a MPH program that takes medical students and allows them to do a lot of classes virtually. So it's a little bit more flexible for their fourth year schedule. And those classes count for our electives in medical school. So it's kind of like, you know, double majoring in undergrad, except, you know, you're doing it with graduate degrees, which is, you know, funny when you say it out loud. But I'm super excited. You know, going back to what Zoe has said about taking the time off, though, like I think gap years and taking time off from school is really valuable. Coming from a hyper competitive environment, when I was growing up, I thought taking time off was like the worst thing you could do, because there was people like skipping years, and like the people I admired would like skip a bunch of grades. And, you know, thinking about taking a year off, like, you know, waste of money, you know, but I think it's really good. And when I took a gap year off during the pandemic, I gained a lot of perspective about why I wanted to be a doctor. And I learned about like what the real world is like, you know, getting a paycheck, you know, paying some of it for taxes, you know, understanding that pain. I think every time you take a step out of like, you know, the usual track, you just gain a lot more perspective, and your vision for the future becomes a lot more clear. So, you know, if my school didn't have that option to do an MPH along with our medical school curriculum, I think I still would have taken a year off, because I've reaped the benefits of taking 1 year off already. And I'm such a better person because of it. And I have a much better perspective. So I'd do it again.
Yeah. And I guess right now you guys are not forming, you're not trying to get a job, you're forming a career, right? And I can already tell by all three of you what you want to do. There is, you know, a distinct interest that you have that you want to take the time to form. And clinical training is made better by those certain initiatives that I think the rest of the individuals that are with you, maybe their path is looking a little bit different than what you're imagining your path looks like. So Nikita, let me ask you, how do you think medical students can gain the global health experiences without taking a year out from your medical education? And right now, I don't know if you want to take a year off listening to these amazing, you know, plans that your colleagues have, but just wondered, you know, how have you thought about taking the time during clinical training to try and, you know, structure some opportunity for global health exposure?
Yeah, definitely. I think after hearing Zoha and Tommy's plans, I'm like, maybe I should take a year off. So we never know. But yeah, just thinking about like coming from it at a perspective of just when you're trying to gain this experience as a medical student, I think like number one is to just check if your medical school has any like global ophthalmology related opportunities. Like University of Michigan actually does have one. It's kind of like a international education program, I think is what they call it. And they let you either travel and work with their global partners, whether it's like observing surgery or working on some global health research projects back home. So that's one avenue. Unfortunately, my school does not have that. I wish. And then another way is to just speak with your mentors. I think there's a lot that we can learn from just talking to attendings about their career and how they got involved in global ophthalmology. And if something sparks an interest within us, then we can, you know, kind of use that to carve out our own passions and our own projects or research projects or what have you. And moving on, I think reading is also super important. Like, just understanding. The AAO website has a ton of articles to just sort through and just read. And like Zoha mentioned, they have a few articles on there about understanding like the ethical challenges of working abroad and teaching abroad and how to build those sustainable practices. Also like articles about understanding global partnerships and why they're important. Why do they contribute to sustainable systems? And so, yeah, I think reading is a great way to just kind of introduce yourself and kind of wet your feet into the field. And then listening, of course, like listening to podcasts like this one, listening to lectures and exploring like other forms of media where they talk about problems in global ophthalmology, as well as just what's happening in the world today. And then just staying active in your local community, attending conferences, learning about the advancements and developments that are happening in the field that you're interested in, and thinking about ways that you can use those ideas and whatever information you learn from those conferences to bring back home into your local community, and seeing how you can kind of implement whatever you learned in your own backyard. So those are just a few ways I think that medical students can kind of get involved and learn a bit more.
And, you know, I think the running theme here is really to first understand your actions, you know, what implications will our actions have in the communities that we're trying to help? Because help can mean a lot of different things. Sometimes the community doesn't need your help, but and not in the way that you would imagine. Sometimes they may need help from, you know, with funding, and they know how to, you know, go around buying the resources they want. And you trying to be the savior without having those experiences with the community can be actually a deterrent for those communities to accept people like you in the future. And so this is a wonderful way that you guys are elevating this field and already taking that initiative forward. You know, we're coming back to the Aver, and I love seeing Tommy's little dog in the background. Although this is really far out from your stage, are you guys aware of the Global Ophthalmology Fellowship? And, you know, what questions do you have regarding to it?
I'm interested in it for sure. I know that, like, Will's Eye has one. I'm not sure who else has one. I think Emery might have one. But I guess for me, it's like, what are some of the things that like these programs look for when you're applying? How competitive are they? Like, do you need to have some sort of global health background to apply? Do you not? Like, what is kind of the landscape? Because I have like an idea of what it looks like maybe if you want to apply like retina or glaucoma, but they're just not as common and plugged. I've only met like the attendings that run the programs. I've never really met anyone that's actively done the fellowship as much. I've read about them online, but I've never really like had a one-on-one conversation. So I guess just like knowing the like ins and outs and little details would be interesting to know.
And let's ask Tommy about this.
Yeah. So, you know, coming from Atlanta, you know, Emory and, you know, Orbis, the Flying Eye Hospital, has always been like, you know, a household thing. And it's always been super impressive to me that they can do awesome things like that, that you think like, you know, you can only read about in books. But, you know, from my perspective, I don't really know what a career in global ophthalmology is. Like, you know, is there such thing as a person who's like a full-time global ophthalmologist? What does that career entail? And is it going to change in the future? Those are the things that I would want to know. And mm-hmm. And on top of that, I would want to know, like, how can I start, you know, best preparing myself now to meet that, just to be more compatible with it?
Yeah, that's an excellent set of questions as well. And, you know, I think I want to kind of hear Nikita before I kind of have a bit of, you know, reveal of how we're going to try and address these questions.
Yeah, so I actually only recently even learned that global ophthalmology fellowships were a thing. Like, I had no idea. I thought it was just retina, glaucoma, like pediatrics, the ones that you hear about a ton. But yeah, I was just kind of shocked to see that, okay, there's actual fellowships for this. So I have like the same questions as Zoha and Tommy, just like, how do you use that fellowship training in your future career? I'm just interested to see that play out.
And just kind of interesting to ask this, but how did you learn about global ophthalmology to begin with?
Yeah, so I learned about it when I was volunteering in the ophthalmology department at UF. One of the ophthalmologists there, he provided care to the local clinic, but he also would go back home to India and volunteer there. And I thought it was just so fascinating how he was able to make time to work in two separate locations, especially in a place that has such a high need for care. So that was like my first exposure into it. But I thought it was just him that was able to do something like that. I didn't know like, oh, wow, like anyone can do this. And so that's why I became interested.
Yeah. So you didn't know that there was like a structured program for this. Right. And this is very common because the fellowships themselves have recently, you know, have started fairly recent compared to other subspecialties. Right. I think it merits asking, you know, trainees that are currently, you know, going through this process, what questions they have, because we don't know, you know, where the pitfalls are in how they're achieving their career goals or their interests. And we can't fault them for the resources not being there. And so these are great things that we're building on the OGT team. And I am incredibly excited to have all three of you being part of this wonderful organization and making it even better than seasons past. So before we sign off, I just want to go around the room and basically have like one-liner from all three of you. You know, what is something that you want to say to our audience?
Yeah, so I'm just really excited to kind of look at the crossroads of advocacy and policy and kind of how they play out on the global ophthalmology scale. And, you know, hopefully we can all learn a little bit of something and get inspired to take action on our own.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for research. And, you know, I want to say that research isn't what it used to be. It's a great way now to connect with people and have fun. And I'm excited to share how that can be done by, you know, some of our guests and some of the content that we put out this year.
Yeah, and I'm super excited to explore, you know, the different service avenues, see how we can kind of address those needs of our community, both locally and globally. And I think that really comes from understanding the needs of the community and what they need first. So hopefully we'll have a lot of episodes where people shed light onto that. And yeah.
Wonderful. And this is wonderful to have all three of you, and I'm looking forward to this year.
Thank you for listening to Open Globe Talk. If you enjoyed this podcast, follow us on Twitter at Open Globe Talk. You can access audio recordings on our website, openglobetk.com, where we make our sessions available on Spotify, Apple, and Google. We are incredibly appreciative of our listeners and hope you ride along to meet more inspirational figures.